It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hello, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It is again time for us to spend about 15 minutes and enjoy talking about the outdoors. You know, our show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. I want to remind you that the convention, the Dallas Safari Club convention this year called Journeys, takes place January the 3rd through the 6th in Dallas, and you can learn all about it there at biggame.org. You know, folks, up here in Northeast Texas, where I grew up, back in the day, there used to be tons of wild quail. You could go anywhere in Northeast Texas, just about anywhere with the right habitat, and have you a good quail hunt. Well, those days are long gone. If you're a hunter, you already know that. Our guest today is Billy Burnett with Hidden Lakes Hunting Resort up in Yantis. Now, Billy has brought quail back to his little part of the world up there at Hidden Lakes. And we want to talk about quail hunting in the old days, talk about ways that you can hunt quail right here in Northeast Texas today. Billy, I want to tell you, buddy, I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
I sure always enjoy talking to you, Luke. It's always great to be talking to someone that has been out and done the wild bird hunting like you and I have both here in East Texas.
It's a tradition, really. But the thing is, and it's kind of a sad thing, a sad note, but youngsters growing up, they don't have it like you and I had it, Billy. They can't walk out behind in the back 40, or I grew up in Red River County, you know, and quail hunting was really as easy as just getting out and getting in the brush, you know, in the pasture edges and shooting wild quail. But there's just so many youngsters now that I'm afraid are never going to have the opportunity to walk up behind a staunch bird dog and to see that beautiful part of nature in action, you know. But thank goodness there's a place right now, you know, Hidden Lakes, your spot up there. They can still experience that, can't they?
They sure can, Luke. And we've got, even today as we speak now, there's three young boys out here that's two of them are 12, and I believe the other one's 14. And two of them is their first hunt, and they went this morning and extremely excited, had a great time, back hunting again this evening. But as you said, we've got four fields here that we can hunt up to 16 people on at a time, four different groups. The best thing that I could come up with, that, like I said, the quail have all left, but we had five coveys of birds hatch out on our place this past year, and we've never had that happen before, and I don't know what caused it and why.
Well, there were some, so I guess some of the birds that made it through and then mated and hatched. Wow, now that's good news right there. And maybe someday the biologist will figure out exactly what the deal is with wild quail. I've went through a class to become a Texas Master Naturalist last year. Took about 6 months, and you know, I asked some of the biologists there the question, the reasons for it, and one thing that every biologist I've ever talked to told me was, I'm old school. Well, the fire ants, they come in, they killed all the quail. They didn't help the quail situation. You know, you also told me, no, that's not it. Loss of habitat, but there's something else. There's something else that I don't think they've really nailed down just yet. Loss of habitat for wild quail, that's a factor. The fire ants are bound to have been a factor. But there's you know, they're still studying, and hopefully at some point, Billy, you know, the quail numbers will be back. I know we have a lot of good habitat now in Northeast Texas, you know.
Well, we do. Even here is something that if we're out in any field or anything we have where there's any native grasses, we try every year to clean up and wipe out all the coastal hay that they planted and try to get rid of it and get the briar vines back. We never shred around standing trees. We never shred any briar patches that grow up wild. We try to leave everything like that. The old sage grass that grows, we've about got it all over the whole property now, and that's one of their nesting places that they love to nest in, is that sage grass.
You know, quail, Billy, they have to have some grass that'll cover their height. And when you mentioned the coastal grasses, which are great for cattle grazing, they're not great for quail, are they?
No, I've seen a little video deal one time, and I had watched on TV with baby quail that was in coastal in the springtime when they hatched out. And as they went in there, they could go about 6 foot. And the old dew and everything, and the grass was so tightly weaved in there that they couldn't move, and they would just lay down. It showed them being down within 6 to 8 foot from the time they got off in it and couldn't come back out of it. They just couldn't get in through it.
It's too dense, and it's for grazing, right? I mean, that's true. That's what you need it for. And when I've hunted your place, and it's where I take my grandsons. Nowadays, it seems like kids are always so busy, but during the holidays they can usually squeeze a day or two out where I can get them, you know, and take them up. But they had a great time up there. And walking through the briars, there's plenty of briar patches left. And, you know, it reminded me of the East Texas, the Northeast Texas that I remember as a kid. And you don't really see a lot of that type of habitat. I guess that's one reason there's not so many quail. But how about a guy that, Billy, someone that, you know, doesn't have the time to go to western Oklahoma or to way west Texas, if he's got bird dogs that he's kept, can they bring them there and hunt? How about people that had their own dogs?
We have a lot of people that still have their own dogs that always went west or used to have leases, and it just kept getting worse each year. And now then, we've got three different sets of guys that don't even lease anymore. They still have their dogs. They come down. We have an ATV set out here. They get in it. They go to their field. They hunt their field, and they're back for lunch and sit down and have lunch. We take care of the bird cleaning for them, and they're ready to take off back, and they hunt it theirself, one, two, three people, with their own dogs and hunted at their speed, just like they would be in West Texas, and they really seemed to enjoy it.
Well, and something else, too, that I'm a big proponent of up there at Hidden Lakes, Billy, is I love to hunt quail, and I've hunted quail in North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, and the panhandle of Texas. I love to hunt pheasant is what I'm talking about. It's the pheasants up there. Uh-huh. You know, it's can be great pheasant hunting, but the drive is so far, you know. And say into December, instead of driving for 12 hours when it comes time to hunt pheasant, which, you know, you can do that right now at Hidden Lakes, but it seems like December is when everybody really gets pumped up on pheasant. And these are some hard-flying birds, I know, because I've tried to hit some of them. you know?
We've been using this bird here, and there's so many different type of ringneck pheasants that the ones that we have been using for the last 3 years that we get, and all the guy will tell me is they are the original blueback pheasant from Kansas. And I have to order these birds, and next month I will order for next year to make sure that I can get them, because there's only one place that has this type of bird. And they have done extremely well for us down here flying. No one's had a complaint about her pheasants or quail flying.
They're very strong flyers. They jump up and they go just like a wild pheasant. The quail, Billy, and I think a lot of this has to do with exercise for their wings, but the quail there, they're in flight pens, and these quail they're very accustomed to flying, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and we keep that our pens is really very unusual from any place I've been. I have 6 foot metal all the way around every pen. It's totally secluded. The brooder barns are secluded when they go in there the day old. And the only time they ever get a peek at a person is when someone goes in to feed them, and that's usually late in the evening or night, and that's about once a week. Other than that, and they've never seen a dog ever in their life, so when they are turned out, they really don't know what anything is, and they're scared of it, and that's what you want. So the birds won't follow you around, but they'll get up and fly.
Exactly right, Billy. And for people, the old-school quail hunters like us that are accustomed to the day when, gosh, you know, they might get up in front of the dogs. It wasn't very uncommon for that to happen. But these birds, and I've hunted with you, I guess, four or five times up there, Billy. You know, they'll hold for the pointer, but when they get up, I mean, they are rockets. They have a program to get away, don't they?
You know? They really do. And I had a gentleman the other day, and he was a real serious. It was he came in hunted, and he said, "Do you have any wild quail here?" And I said, "Well, there's, you know, we had a few cubbies hatch out this year, 3, 4, 5 cubbies." He said, "Well, I don't know what happened to the birds that y'all put out for us." They said, "We never did see them." He said, "All the thing we got into was wild quail, so they flew like a rocket." And I just never said a word, but I know they didn't get into that many wild quail. It had to be the birds we turned out.
Exactly so. Well, that's exactly what I experienced. People coming up there, Billy, you're right there within just a short distance of Lake Fork at Yantis is where you're located. But people coming up there, they can mostly, seems like I've always come up for the morning hunts and get there about 7:30. And all the walking and shooting that you want to do, and then come in for lunches. You guys usually have I guess that's part of each hunt, you know, but makes it very comfortable and relaxing.
Well, that's what we try to do. We know you want to get away and you come in to enjoy yourself. We're going to give it 110% to try to take care of you. The guides we have are, they have to carry me hunting at least once, if not twice, every year. And my son's been guiding for 5 years and he still does the same thing. Just to make sure everything's tuned, all the dogs are tuned, and everything's the way it should be, you know.
Well, it makes for an enjoyable hunt. And something I really want to stress, Billy, is people that have kids. Now, granted, they may have never seen a quail or seen a pointer working or a setter working upland birds. But when they go there, they're in the hands of somebody that can show them and safety. Quail hunting, you know, there's certain safety things that you just have to do. But I remember with our grandsons, each kid, I mean, they were well indoctrinated. I'd hammered them pretty hard before they got there. But still, you know, I mean, safety is an absolute must in any kind of shotgun in sports. But quail hunting, it's important, but they're taught that. The guides take the time to explain to the kids what they're doing, and they feel, you know, they don't pressure them or make them feel pressured, but when they get out there, they're relaxed, but yet they've got that training to make it a safe hunt, you know?
Well, I know this morning, as we do with any of them that come in, the younger kids, when they get here, the guys will usually go back to the skeet machine, and he will spend 15 to 30 minutes, or ever how long he thinks it takes, to get the guys, if they hadn't hunted quail, get the shotgun fitted up against their shoulders, and be sure that the gun's always pointing up, that safety is on it, and how to turn, and what if a bird does this or that, and a dog does this or that. And they get to see and hear everything before they get out there live in front of it. And then he really, really watches with our dogs. Once they go on point, they're going to stay there till we send a flush dog in to flush them. And that way you get plenty of time to get the kids lined up where they need to be. And keep everything safe, because that is one of our main goals. It is the number one goal here, is safety.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what? We are already out of time, Billy. I would like you to do this. Leave the website and then a phone number for people up in Northeast Texas that want to get back into quail shooting, how they can contact you.
I sure will. It's HiddenLakesHuntingResort.com. That's HiddenLakesHuntingResort.com. You can reach it at 903-714-7574.
Well, Billy, I certainly appreciate you being with us. Told that we need to wrap this up, but look forward to getting with you soon and getting up there and getting on some of those quail.
Man, I sure appreciate it, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Billy. Folks, this show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, biggame.org. And remember, the convention this year in Dallas is January the 3rd through the 6th.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.